This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss Villa's forthcoming fixture against Crystal Palace, Mr. Chris Bird.
Hello.
Welcome back.
How you doing?
All right. It's been a while since we've had a something for the weekend.
It has.
So it's good to be back. We keep getting sent these NFT watches to sponsor the show, and the market's crashed. The crypto market's crashed. So their values went right down and just didn't supply us with the necessary sponsorship funds to run something for the weekend.
No.
So we had to just sit there on the sidelines waiting for some big boy to turn up.
And turn up they did.
And finally they have. We wanted a watch that kind of fitted in with the kind of mission that Villa are on, where they were playing three games at home within the space of 9 days, and they needed to get enough points to get in the top half, because surely we can't finish the season without being in the top half. It would be too embarrassing, especially after signing Coutinho on a permanent deal. It's not a good look. So for the Villa Minute, where we bring you up to speed on what's happened recently in the Villaverse. What did we get through the door?
Well, we were sent two very limited edition Rolexes this time. We haven't had a Rolex for a while. Only 100 ever made. And these are the Explorer 2s, which are the SAS Who Dares Wins. It's a special edition air service stainless steel chronograph.
SAS,
these are only
Who Dares Wins.
SAS soldiers, so we are officially on the front line, David.
Are we off to the Ukraine?
I fucking hope not.
Did we sign anything to get these watches? Did you sign anything?
Hell no,
I didn't get delivered to me. Good. I just want to make sure. Just before I invest or think about investing in, you know, renewing a season ticket at Villa next season, I want to make sure I haven't been conscripted in the small print of these Rolex SAS watches. Good. Right. We can continue. Just in case you haven't listened to the show before, this is not the main show. This is something for the weekend, our pre-weekend catch-up on the Villaverse, and the way we do that to get things running is the Villa Minutes. Just plugging in this SAS watch.
Set it to stun.
No, to kill.
Ooh, shoot to kill.
Right, I'll count you in. 3, 2, 1, go.
After avoiding a 5-loss sequence with the draw at Leicester and relegating Dean Smith with a much-needed win v Norwich, Villa travelled up to Turf Moor, hoping to also put a nail in Burnley's relegation coffin. Goals from Ings and the returning Buendia had Villa 2 up at the break in impressive fashion. The game was secured with an Ollie Watkins header. Despite a Burnley consolation, an impressive performance pushed Villa back up the table, ahead of the big game against Liverpool in midweek. The Reds arrived at Villa Park, needing a win to keep the title race alive. Villa started at warp speed, with a rare Douglas Luiz goal, but the usual defensive gift allowed Liverpool swiftly back into the game. But for missed chances, Villa would have gone in at the break ahead. With Nakamba subbed off, Villa's midfield stuttered, allowing Liverpool in for the second goal, impressively finished by Mane. Villa were wasteful in key areas, but put in a gutsy display, despite the 2-1 loss to suggest progress.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Didn't we beat these cunts 7-2 last season?
Hmm.
How can that be progress? Anyway,
the week ended with Christian Perslow announcing a 4-year permanent deal for Felipe Coutinho from Barca, a relative snip at 17.2 million, with him taking a reported 70% pay cut. Jacob Ramsey was crowned Players Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year, while Matty Cash was the Fans Player, and Danny Ings' overhead kick v Newcastle took the Goal of the Season award. Villa now go into the final week of the season with 3 games, with the clear aim to finish in the top half.
Do you think we'll do it?
This is the business end.
Can we do it, Chris?
We can win the next 2 and rely on other results. We could maybe.
I don't know if it's out. Manchester City at the Etihad. I think we'll definitely do it.
Oh, yeah, clearly.
We definitely got to win our next game.
Next 2, really. We've got to win the 2 home games to do it, I think.
Yeah, and the good news is the next game against Palace gives us a chance to dispose of one of the teams that potentially could finish above us if we don't get our act together.
And then obviously we have our game in hand 5 days later.
Yeah, but injury-wise, from the Steven Gerrard press conference, Ollie Watkins hasn't trained, but now has an outside chance of being involved. So I think if he's almost there, he'll certainly play, I think.
Yeah, or they'll put him on the bench.
But, I mean, you're changing the whole ethos of Villa if you're not playing him, because I think it's kind of fundamental to our recent success.
He was very good against Liverpool.
You know, Watkins-Ings partnership is definitely
starting to
work now, and is the focus of our recent success, I think. Ramsey has trained all week and will return to the matchday squad. I think McGinn's been doing all right there, and I think the starting lineup against Liverpool is... Perhaps how he may start in an ideal world if Nakamba's up for it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he tries to rotate ahead of a few games. Obviously 3 in a week, but you're going into the end of the season, so I don't think you have to worry necessarily about training. You won't be doing any training or heavy work at this time of year, will you? It's just tactical work and recovery.
Yeah, because I think Tuesday to Sunday isn't so bad.
I think the rotation isn't too bad either.
Yeah, I think the rotation will be Thursday, I would say the focus is. But at the moment, I don't mind that. Let's say McGinn instead of Ramsey, essentially, in terms of where Ramsey would play. And then Ramsey in against Burnley, maybe. We shall see.
Or Ramsey in for Louise, perhaps.
I think Louise has been playing well when he's more of a number 8.
Yep.
Because he does give you, he's got that... He doesn't mind getting stuck in. I don't think he's a strong enough player in that respect, or a pragmatic player and to do it in a number 6 position. But he's got a little bit more in terms of, you know, just his Brazilian traits of being able to pass, etc. So that works better further up. So it's definitely was doing all right against Liverpool, and that's obviously a big test.
Yeah.
To see if your midfield's going to work is against them. And I thought, you know, we gave them a pretty much...
Went toe-to-toe with them.
Decent game and, maybe a fair result would have been a draw there.
I would have said so.
So, interesting to see how Ramsey features in that. Because I just think McGinn gives you a bit more bite in the midfield. While
Ramsey drives you forwards. But I think Ramsey gives you the ball carrier. So you're sort of a different kind of players, really.
But so it's an interesting dilemma for Gerrard, put it that way. In terms of Coutinho versus Buendia, if that is the versus, I still... in current form, you go Buendia.
Yeah.
But
invested him against Liverpool.
Yeah. But then again, would he do play Coutinho against Palace and then throw Buendia in against Burnley?
Maybe.
Because I think one will start one and the other one will start the other in that dilemma. I think Coutinho, where you're hopefully going to see the best of him and which going to warrant signing him permanently, will be after he gets a full pre-season and he's settled and mentally he knows exactly where he's going to be and where he's going.
Seems to be what Gerrard said, wasn't it, about the signing? He's a player that needs to feel wanted and supported and sort of part of something, which obviously he wasn't at Barca, whose balance sheet must be looking pretty... painful right now.
Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, in terms of like Liverpool, I mean, he was part of something there and welcome, but you know, everything that came out in the press was him forcing a move and him saying, I want to go and win things, which is kind of the opposite of what's happening here because, he won things obviously in Barcelona, then he wasn't really happy there, ended up in Bayern, and he said he was happy at Bayern. And
we won the Champions League, didn't
we? And all paths seemed to lead to him signing for them permanently, but Bayern Munich didn't like the price tag.
I think it's become a good deal. You know, I think we all discussed that at sort of the €30 million plus bracket. We just felt that just didn't feel like good business. But now that, you know, they've managed to do what looks like a reasonably good deal and got in within the wages as well, and they've brought that down. So I think it's a much more realistic deal for where he's at and where we're at, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come over the summer. It allows you when you take that 17.2 over the 4-year contract, FFP wise, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen people on social media compare the cost of Grealish to the fact that we've got Buendia and Coutinho for half of what we got for Grealish, and I think, you know, they're completely right in that. If you equate the deals in that comparison, it is excellent business.
Especially when you think, I mean, it's a different
but
kind
still,
of
identity. But still, we need, you know, I'm not jumping up and down doing high fives just yet, because you judge a deal on the results of that deal, really, don't you?
Yeah, and I think in a different way to Grealish, because, you know, Jack had a different identity at the club, but Coutinho also brings a certain commercial pull, I think, globally, that means it's commercially a good decision in terms of, you know, your shirt sales and all this, the global brand, if you want to call it that.
For the FIFA, FIFA football type fans.
Yeah, for the FIFA fans.
Although, interestingly, I mean, I haven't done a deep dive, and I mean, most people don't know the real nitty-gritty of the deal, but there's talk of Barcelona have a 50% sell-on interest in the sell-on fee, but I don't think there's, you know, 4-year contract. He's 29 now. I think you're talking about potential move to the MLS or something. There's not really much value for Barcelona there. But I also saw something, 50% of the players... image rights.
I don't know how that works. The nitty gritty details of that. I don't know how that works.
But I'm sure there's got to be a few things in there to appease Barcelona from, you know, having to drop their pants for this deal.
Well, it would have potentially allowed them, you know, 4 years of slightly residual income just dripping in from Villa and from the player. I don't know how that would be an interesting one for someone who knows about it. How that would actually work.
But I would say it's a very, when you say constructive accounting, it's a very
I think that's what it's for.
There's a lot of intrigue around how this contract would have been structured, because it is kind of a unique circumstance where there's a bond between the player and Gerrard. That's without doubt why we've got him, because you would have thought, once you heard like that 33 mil and then... Look where we've ended up negotiating them down to. You'd have thought another club would have come in and say, hey, we'll give you 20, 25, no problem. But so there's a lot on the bond between Gerrard and Coutinho. Coutinho's early, I wanted to leave Liverpool to win trophies. Well, he's won trophies. Does that mean he's happy in that respect now? And he's just living, he just wants an easy, quiet life.
I think it's probably he wants to obviously be able to play for Brazil in the World Cup, which he will if he's fit. Probably get back to the simple pleasures of, like, just enjoy my football. You know, financially, he's probably more than set himself up for life anyway.
Yeah.
He's won multiple trophies, so he can tick that box. And now it's kind of like, well, I've got a slightly different challenge. Maybe taking on a slightly different role within a changing room, where he's had to, you know, now he'll almost have to sort of not nurture me slightly, you know, a bit of a mentor for younger players, which he probably wouldn't have had to be at Barcelona. It was very much, it's on Messi, it's on players like you and Suarez, etc. in that era. It was just about what you do on the pitch. It's probably a little bit about what he does off the field.
I think his influence is a subtle one. It's just like, this is just somebody who's getting up, just gets on with it.
See him day in, day out in training, and you realise his levels are at a certain point. You're like, wow, this guy is just, you know, almost like, you know, it's quite inspiring to watch his, you know, you see him when he's warming up on the pitch and stuff. You think, wow, this guy's first touch is just scary.
Also, I mean, there is another side to this, because I think Buendia thinks, right, I'm in the shit here, but there's two ways to go. You can rise to the challenge and he will become a better player because of that.
You would think so.
And maybe force a way where they're both playing. I mean, you can say, well, you know, we have said, unless that midfield's balanced, and, you know, I've always said we need two number eights in, you know, or two players that can play and basically control the game and provide the foundations for Buendia or Coutinho. But also, you need somebody with a bit more of a physical presence as well.
Gerrard called it profile, didn't
he? Yeah, in terms of profile, to potentially allow them to both play, because, you know, you look at Manchester City and some of their forward players, they play, you know, two, three relatively, you know, very skillful smaller players, but they get away with it because they're just, you know, their levels above. But I think there's a chance for those, both of them, to play in certain games.
It'd certainly be nice to see if they can make that combination work. It might be if Watkins isn't fit, you play an Ings down the middle against Palace and say, actually, let's try and play these two off him.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm open for them trying it.
Because, I mean, if they're on the wavelength and maybe
it'd be great to watch, wouldn't it, if you get those two.
Yeah, I think it's something they'll probably give it a rollout in pre-season for sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
give it a go, because that's what you want to be paying your season ticket for, just to see players like that having.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A go. Right, anyway, so that's all good on that front. We'll talk about that more in the main show. Ramsey, as we said, also... well, he's back, so it would be interesting to see if he features from the off. Palace, if we've got any chance of finishing in the top half, we've got to beat them because they're in and amongst us. Kind of a 50-50 situation with previous Premier League games in terms of just Premier League history, where it's seven wins apiece, is it not?
Yeah, they've kind of had a reasonable, you know, they've kind of, in the last few games, we've obviously had not too bad a record against them, especially at home.
In terms of form, Palace over the last six games finishing, they're actually currently ninth best in the Premier League on form. Back-to-back wins.
They haven't had the worst run of games in the last few weeks, to be fair, I think.
Yeah.
They've played a lot of
Villa, for anybody interested, are currently 13th based on form over the last six games. But it's enough to put them above Manchester United and Wolves. In terms of away form, Palace sixth. Over the last six away games, every Premier League team's played. They're saying that Villa are a fifth best away team. I mean, obviously we're playing, we're hosting this, but having a, you know, one eye on that Manchester City game. We've got reasonably decent form away from home recently. It's just a home form that's let us down.
Taking it to teams and controlling the game, as we've said all season, it's the themes of. Been there all year.
Yeah, and just while we're here, currently in the home form table, based on every team's last six home games, Villa are 14th, and that's two wins, four losses. That's where the season's pretty much capitulated. Overall, we're 15th in terms of our home record, it's just not good enough. You can't be losing more games than you win at home. It's just a recipe for disaster. I mean, away from home, we are a top 10 team. So that tells you everything you need to know about why Villa's season has not been what we were hoping. It's all on the home form, and that needs rectifying. What's the key stat? Probably the key stat is shows you what an influence Sahar is on the team. He's the eighth top scorer in terms of Premier League goals with 13, which has him
kind of gone under the radar a little bit this year.
Yeah, has him level with Sterling. He's actually, Sterling though has only scored 14% of Manchester City's goals. Sahar has scored 28%, which is, I think it's the third highest contribution behind Ronaldo, who scored 32% of Manchester United goals, and Son for Spurs has scored 33% of their goals. So that shows you his contribution. But as you say, even though he's like eighth top scorer, he hasn't kind of lit up the Premier League.
I think because you've had Tyrek Mitchell and Conor Gallagher, obviously, have sort of shone and been England sort of call-ups and stuff. He's just been overshadowed a little bit by the more hyped younger names, but he's actually had a reasonably good season for them this year.
Yeah, he's somebody that Mings normally gets involved with, doesn't he?
He does.
It's kind of an ongoing battle. But yeah, we'll see how the latest saga of the Mings-Zahara situation goes there. Finally, before we go, who are we poaching from Palace to improve the Villa first 11 if we had to choose one player? It's a hard one, this, because I think they've got a lot of... It's got a decent squad. I mean, you look at the forward line, there's a few Villa rejects in there. Edouard, but he hasn't really...
He's had little moments, but not...
Caught
not
fire. Done. He's kind of been in and out of that team. So I don't think anybody... I mean, I would take vintage Benteke, but he hasn't been Villa Benteke for many a season, so that's not happening. Gallagher, is he going to get in the team?
I mean, I think he's a good player. He's been a form player, but you kind of think, well, who would you put him in our team over? It's more if our players are fit, firing and on form and as good as they are, I don't think you take too many of their players. You'd probably have Gallagher in your squad, but I certainly wouldn't play him over a lot of the guys we've got. Not for me.
Yeah, I mean, potentially defensively, I think only five teams in the Premier League have conceded less than Palace. So perhaps that's where we're looking to take players from Palace.
Perhaps.
Because they haven't scored that many, well, they're probably average, but defensively they've only conceded 42 goals. Compare that to Villa's 49. But, I mean, that's conceding less than Arsenal, who have conceded 45. Spurs have conceded 40. Manchester United have conceded 56. Fucking
wow.
Hell. That's pretty outrageous, actually. So, defensively, I think we need a centre-back, don't we?
Yeah, but then would you take...
We need somebody on the level, just if Konsa doesn't pull his act together or Mings goes for anybody, really, then...
I mean, Mitchell's a really good player, but he's a left-back, and I think actually with Luka Dinya, we've got a pretty good one, and you're starting to see that now, so I wouldn't necessarily get rid of him. You've got is it Riedewald, the lad who plays at the back for them, Dutch lad?
But what about the Danish guy, Anderson? I mean, he's consistent.
Michael Olise, he's obviously kind of a new sort of relatively hotly tipped player. I quite like Elise. I think he's got another level to go. Conor Gallagher's the obvious choice that you'd have in your squad, but it's kind of like, would any of their lads...
I'd probably go for Joachim Andersen just as a centre-back alternative because, he leads pretty much their stats in terms of blocks, average blocks and clearances, and he's reliable and he's only 25, so there's plenty of seasons in him as well. So that would probably be my pick. Just to give the current two, who are prone to a mistake or two, something to think about.
They are, yes.
Right, thank you very much for listening. Please do become a my old man said patron. We did put out actually a reaction show to the Liverpool game on the Extra Podcast channel. We'll probably do a reaction for the Burnley one as well because it's in a strange time, isn't it? Thursday
night is kind of like the only time you should be playing Thursday nights is if you're in Europe.
Exactly.
And Burnley is not very European.
Your Europa Conference or whatever is even more preferable. But... please do join us there to support the show. And also there's going to be a bit of a revamp with lots of interesting things happening for next season, which we are kind of working on. So please do go to myomansaid.com and click on the Patreon link for more information there. And don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at myomansaid and follow it and put the notifications on whatever podcast app you choose. Also, don't forget that if you are getting your My Old Man Said shows through the Acast app, they are actually discontinuing the app just to concentrate on being a provider of podcasts. So if you are getting the My Old Man Said Patreon Extra podcast channel stream through that, you should be changing where that's going to go to, or else you won't get them once that app stops functioning. Right, any final words before we disappear?
No, just win.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.